Disruptor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. We'll get to the phones right away. We've got loaded lines, but I've got a few in Howard's garden things that I need to cover. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and down in San Antonio, which I just spent a couple of days, I've been more rain. Nice days in between, but lots and lots of rain. And we're, way above our normal kind of thing. So there's a few interesting problems popping up, a few diseases. No big deal. Really easy to control with the organic program. And some insect problems, not a whole lot. So if you've got any questions about any of those things, let us know. As I told the last caller, one of the last newsletters that we did was about garlic pepper tea and how to make it. And we did a video along with updating the formula. And it's good. It's one I probably need to talk about more often than I do. There's not a good commercial way to buy it that I know of right now. Maybe, but I don't know one. So it's one you make yourself. And if you want to go with the commercial products, like as I said to other callers, look at the essential oils. And if you have a real tough insect problem, look at the products that contain as the main active ingredient, spinosad or spinosad, S-P-I-N-S-A-D-O-S-A-D, spinosad. And if you've got fleas, ticks, things like that, the beneficial nematodes need to go out on the site. Fleas are a big deal, more than normal because of the weather in a lot of cases, both they were down there for people in San Antonio, and I'm also seeing it here. Our little tater's scratching a lot. We can't find any fleas on him at all. He's just scratching from allergies or pollen or something else, apparently. But the beneficial nematodes put out, very inexpensive, relatively speaking, and control fleas and ticks and all kinds of other pests, so it's highly recommended. Stressed plants, we're hearing from a lot of people that are indicating that their plants are stressed, probably a temporary stress in a lot of cases due to the weather, unusual weather changes, that sort of thing, a little bit more water than they're normally used to or whatever. The natural organic approach in general will alleviate most of those issues. If it doesn't, going to the next step of using the entire sick tree treatment is in order. That's what we devised years ago to cure red tip fittinias that were dying out all over the South, and it works beautifully not only on that situation but on most tree problems where a stress of some kind is involved. And of course, that's what most of the tree problems are all about. If you've planted a tree that's not adapted to where you've planted it, we can't help you much there. But if it is a tree that should be adapted in the soil and in the climate where you've planted it, the sick tree treatment is what you need to do. And the first step of the sick tree treatment is to expose that flare. That's the most important part of it. And the rest of it is doing some aeration of the soil throughout the root zone, either mechanically or putting out hydrogen peroxide, and then applying the rest of the amendments that we recommend for bed preparation, compost, rock powders, and sugars. The sugars are primarily dry molasses and cornmeal. And if you didn't get all that and you're hearing it for the first time, it's explained in black and white and in detail for you on dirtdoctor.com under guides, the button guides on the website. And then one final thing before we go to the phones. I've had this problem myself. You know, you hear me talk all the time about keeping the soil and the mulch off of the bases of trees. It's extremely important. Just as important is keeping the ground cover and the vines off of the bases of trees. And especially don't let the vines and the ground covers crawl up the trunk. I let it happen a little bit myself over the last few weeks. And the reason is, we've got this incredible weather. We've got this rain and mild temperatures where things are growing fast. And if you don't kind of keep an eye on it and keep up with it, you can look around. All of a sudden, one day, you've got the Virginia creeper, the Asian jasmine, the ivies, the various vines growing up on the trunks of the trees. And you don't want that to happen. You not only don't want it on the trunks, up in the limbs, and the foliage blocking light, but you don't want it on the bark, keeping moisture on the bark and keeping the trunk from breathing, and especially don't want it on the flare. So that means pulling it all the way off the trunk and all the way off the flare and exposing the area at the ground. And in most cases, you'll notice, like I did at my place, that there's too much soil and too much mulch on the flare. And so getting the ground covers and the vines pulled back allows you to see that and allows you to maintain your trees like they need to be maintained. So get to work. Susan in Highwood, Illinois. Is that right, Susan?
Oh, yes. Let me turn down the radio.
Okay, listen on WPCT. What can I do for you, Susan?
Okay. I have the most horrible squirrels. I keep digging, and I put out a quarter inch of brand new pepper stuff in a pot, and they dug anyway. P.S. I read I could use baby powder. I did plant some tomato plants in pots yesterday, and I got one of those smart pots, so I'm hoping it does well.
Oh,
but
good.
Anyway, I did put baby powder. It is the cornstarch one. Is that safe for vegetables?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's no problem at all. What did you see as far as keeping the squirrels away? Did it seem to help? I'm sorry?
That's what I want, to keep the squirrels away. I did look up while I was waiting your Garrett, the thing you recommend, so the pepper tea.
Well, did the baby powder help with the squirrels?
Well, they haven't been around hopping around yet today, so I don't know. There's an empty lot across
okay.
the street.
Well, let us know if it works. That's an interesting technique. The other thing that you might try, Susan, and it will work in most cases, is that you can get lava gravel, usually from any of the retail stores that sell gardening products, and you can put the lava gravel as a mulch. Especially works well in pots and containers.
Good.
And it works in beds. You just have to use a lot more material, but they don't like digging in the sharp edges, you know, of the lava gravel.
Okay. How deep a layer of lava gravel?
Just a thin layer, just a single layer of the gravel.
Okay. Well, I'll have to keep you posted on this baby. I read it in an old Jerry Baker.
Okay. Well, I hope it works. Let us know what you see, and we'll pass it on.
It should be safe, right?
Oh, yeah. No problem there.
It's not the talc baby powder. That was real careful. It's the cornstarch one. I had it. I planted yesterday, and I thought they'll probably come ruin everything in these three pots. So I just put it on, and I went, oh, you know, I should have asked if it's safe. And tomorrow morning is your show.
Well, I think either one would be safe enough to use and fit into the organic program. It's just a matter of whether or not it's going to work. So let us know. I'll be interested to hear.
I will. And also, is there a new plant on the, for that conch? Is that on this week?
You know, we don't have a good point. I've been out of town, and that's the first time I've thought about it. I will come up with something, and I don't know if Yoga Mike is around or anybody that can put it on there, but if we don't get it on today, we'll get one on tomorrow. We might get one on before the show's over today, and whoever guesses what the plant is, it'll be in Instagram on dirtdoctor.com, that line of photographs down toward the bottom. And if you guess
right.
it, you get a free class, the online class that Texas.
Oh, I think that's great. Did they get the date one?
It wasn't date. It was actually a palm. Date palm. It was a needle palm. And, yes, somebody got that last week. We'll put a new one up, and I'll let you know as soon as we have time to do it.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a good day. Bye-bye
you
now.
You too. Yeah, that's what we started. We put up a photograph that's a quiz. You have to identify what the photograph is, and it'll be the one on the left end of the photographs on Instagram on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And if you are the first one to guess what the photograph is I put up, you get a copy. No, not a copy. You get to for free to take the test. You get the test, the natural organic certification course, not the test, the course, which has a test in it. And we've had we actually had two winners last week that won the course, and we've got a lot of people that are finishing the course now and getting their certificate. By the way, we had one person said they had trouble getting the certificate. If anybody else did, let us know. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Good health isn't always by chance, but with planning and commitment, the payoff is priceless. Essential Formulas is proud to offer unparalleled, scientifically proven probiotic formulations that support the body's ability to maintain health from a microbial and cellular level. Our award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics supports your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint, which promotes digestive and whole health. Dr. O'Hara further developed a unique line of skincare products, natural and chemical-free, all with his signature probiotic support. And our RegActive products contain ME3, the only probiotic scientifically proven to actually produce the master antioxidant glutathione within your body to help maintain cellular health during daily exposure to free radicals, common environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Look for Dr. O'Hara's line of probiotic products and RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
A smooth flowing bloodstream is vital to good health. And one of the keys to maintaining that smooth flow is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic accelerates circulation, revitalizes cells, and keeps blood platelets from sticking to each other or to artery and capillary walls. You see, the body produces an amino acid called homocysteine. If left unchecked, high homocysteine levels can become a serious health risk. Today, many health experts believe that homocysteine is more of a risk factor than cholesterol. And Kyolic is the only garlic supplement patented to reduce homocysteine levels, a major risk factor for arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. In fact, Kyolic is the only aged garlic extract. So get traffic moving smoothly along all your major arteries. Look for Kyolic. You'll find it where quality nutritional supplements are sold.
Black cow, the mature manure. If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's see who's next. It's Earl in High Park, Illinois, WPCT. Hi, Earl.
Doing there, Dirk Doctor. How you doing, Howard?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I enjoy your program every Sunday. I can catch it.
Well, good.
And I try to catch it most Sundays. So, my quick questions to you. I wanted to remind you of that you said you were going to research or do a little digging into the hardy hibiscus for this climate up here, but I'm not going to hold you to it this session. What I actually called about was... hummingbirds get here about the beginning of the month, and I, you know, like I indicated before, I like to try to have a hummingbird habitat here in, you know, my little backyard.
Right.
And so primarily at that time of the year, we don't have any of the annual salvias that are blooming here naturally. You know what I'm saying? We don't have very many. Plants that are blooming here, and I'm wondering what are they feeding on the way up to Chicago to get here by the beginning of the month. And they are here because, you know, I put my feeder out at the beginning of the month, and I always use my flowering pear tree as an indicator when to put my feeders out, because I've noticed hummingbirds on that flowering pear tree in the past, so that's when I put my feeders on. But there are no blooms out here. So do you know what they might be feeding on their way up through Illinois?
Yeah, the secret, Earl, is to have a whole bunch of different things blooming that have different colors and different fragrances and different timing. One of the things about hummingbirds that a lot of people get wrong is that they will start coming in earlier than most people think in cooler weather. They can take some pretty cool weather, and they will come in and they will travel, you know, and feed on all sorts of different plants. So the key for you is to go to the garden centers and see what's in bloom now and what's going to be in bloom. Talk to your local people there and get some plants that'll give you a transition of bloom, so that there's always something blooming. And if you have different colors and different fragrances and all of that helps, not just with the hummingbirds, but with butterflies and all kinds of other interesting creatures for the garden. One of the things that they like the most in my garden, for example, that we use as a perennial, but you could use as an annual if it's up there, that they just crave, is lantana. And another one is Turk's cap. And then there's another plant right now that's in bloom that you'd have to use as an annual. We can get away with it as a perennial. Is the firecracker plant. It has real pretty tubular red flowers, and that's a key for you when you start looking at flowers to plant that'll attract them. They like a lot of different flowers and a lot of different colors and all, but the thing that they like the most in general are flowers that have tubular, kind of long tubular shapes.
Okay, now is that firecracker plant also known as Kufia? Because that's what I plant.
Kufia is another good one, but that's not firecracker plant. If you'll look on my website, I think it's on there. I'll double check it when I go to the next break. I was just looking at a plant I was going to put up for the contest, and I noticed that we don't have it in the library, and so I may be missing that one too. And if it's not on there, I will put it on there so everybody will know what I'm talking about, because it's a great one. Bob and I were looking at it in San Antonio yesterday. It was all over the place in full bloom. And it's one of those plants that will bloom red for you from spring all the way to fall.
No, I'll use it every year. As soon as the nursery start getting them in, I start planting them, and I start planting the black and blues right away as soon as I get them. And
the salvia, black and blue salvia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The last question is, now, we're still in the high 50s to low 60s at night. Is that early, too early for my tomatoes?
Oh, it's a good question. It's probably not too early if you put out some floating row cover around the cages or a water wall or have some kind of protection handy. I think that you're probably at the point where you can go ahead and go, though.
Oh, okay. That's what, yeah, because I was, you know, they've been in the nurseries for about 3 weeks now, but I've been a little leery in buying them just yet.
Get them going.
All right. Thank you, sir, and I enjoy your program. You have a great one.
You too. Oh, by the way, the research I was supposed to do for you on what hibiscus was it? I'm drawing a blank.
It was the hearty hibiscus. It's supposed to be a hibiscus that can survive the winter here in Illinois.
Okay, all right. The regular hardy hibiscus, the perennial hibiscus, can probably do it, but let me check into what are the best ones. I forgot about that. I'll admit it, but I'll look into it for you.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Ed in Waco, Texas. Ed, I may have skipped you. Thanks for being so patient. What's going on?
Hey, Howard. Got a question for you.
Okay.
I have a gardenia bush, probably 5 years, maybe 6 years old, that I transplanted from Waco here back a couple of months ago up to Roy City. I'm in the process of moving there, and I may have it in a little too shaded of an area. I just need to get some information. Would it be possible that I could move that bush? I've got it set back kind of under an oak tree.
Yeah, how long has it been in the place where it is now?
Probably a couple months.
Yeah, they need full sun, Ed, to do really well. It's something I've learned the hard way, so moving it would be a good idea if you can move it without disturbing it and keep it moist and get it in a little sunnier spot. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back with you right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step-by-step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain the lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40-50% and your lawn is the best-looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Until now, no university or school of any kind has offered a degree program or certification in the world of organic gardening, farming, horticulture, or agriculture. That's now changed with a brand new online natural organic certification course. The course is taught with 15 chapters of video instruction and includes 25-page study booklet. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for a Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you. And we were talking off the air there about moving a gardenia. And several people were asking me about moving plants yesterday. And the answer to whether you should move right now or not depends on how long the plant's been there. In a couple of cases yesterday, people had just planted a plant and hadn't rooted out yet. And so if that's the case, you can move a plant to a better location without any trouble, no matter what time of the year it is. If it's been in place for a while, or if it's balding, you know, larger ball or something like that, the best thing to do, like we were just talking about, best thing to do is wait till fall or early winter to make the move. You're just going to have a lot better chances. If you don't have that option, if you have to move a plant for whatever reason, the key is get the new area ready, the hole started, move the plant as quickly as you can, make sure it stays moist. And of course, if you move it real quickly, that shouldn't be a risk anyway. Get it into the new location as quickly as possible. Backfill with the soil that came out of that area where the new plant is going, whether it's native soil or a prepared bed, whatever the existing soil is in that spot. Water it in really well. Put a little bit of Garrett juice in right at the end as a root stimulator, and you should be fine with most plants. But on the other hand, the best thing to do is to wait till fall or the dormant season. Have an open line. You want to jump on here quick. It's 866-444-3463. 1-800-878-7578. Todd in Azle, Texas. Hey, Todd.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I was telling your guy that I live on 2 acres, and I have now got oak wilt, and I've got about 15 trees in the 200 to 300 year old range on my property, and it's taken down 4 of them, and I didn't like what the forest department had told me I needed to do, which essentially was trench and cut to save, and I'm like, that's every tree around my house, so that's really not an option for me. So I read online about your stuff, and I'm wondering a couple of things. Is the trees that are infected, they've got about a 10 or 20% canopy left. Can they be treated, do you think? And how much and how often do I need to do that one? So I figure it's going to cost me quite a bit of money to save these, but they're worth it, I think.
Give me a little more background here. Okay. What kind of oaks are they? Red oaks or live?
Live
oaks?
My red oaks aren't infected for some reason. They didn't get infected, but it brought down 4 of them. And when the forest department came out, I have another tree that looks like it's been in decline for about 12 years when we bought the property. And they told me that one probably was withered by oak wilt. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense, because if that happened, then how come I got a dormant period of 10 years and now it strikes and takes down 4 of my trees? And the other trees that are between that one they originally said was, they're all healthy.
Okay, yes.
So I don't understand what's going on.
But I don't either yet. The red oaks not being affected is really curious. Have you been a organic person for a while or not?
I am, as far as just my, vegetable garden and stuff like that. But these are kind of sitting in open field and around our house, and I really kind of just left them alone.
Haven't been treated anyway.
No.
Basically.
They've been doing just fine. They all look good until this past spring when they started dropping their leaves.
Okay. What kind of soil is there?
Sandy loam. Very sandy.
Sandy soil. Okay. Nothing has changed. No new utilities have gone in. No spill. No contamination. No anything like that. During the drought period that we had, back, it's kind of hard to remember now. We've had so much rain.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I actually thought triggered it. But that I thought they were just dropping because of the delayed drought. But they got those leaves dropping off. They got what they call it, necrosis.
Veinal necrosis, where the veins are dark or brown and the rest is green. Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Okay, that is a symptom of oak wilt. It's extremely curious why it would hit the live oaks and not the red oaks in the same area.
Well, that's what I agree. I didn't know. And she says, no, the two red oaks I have, she says, look fine and healthy. And I'm like, well, nothing makes sense to what y'all are telling me. And then she pointed out that on the acreage about 500 yards from me, she says, there's a tree out there that's got oak wilt, it looks like, and then there was one behind our acreage behind us, and so it's kind of looked like it's not running like an electrical current. It's just kind of
it's not a, there's not a pattern. Yeah, that's another
pattern.
That's another curious thing. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I would do if it were my property. Okay,
all right,
and it will cost some money, but not as much as they probably would have you spend if you drilled holes in the flare and injected Alamo in all the trees, which is, I'm sure, what they recommended.
There's a guy. They have told me to call this guy, and he's coming out tomorrow, but that's the reason why I wanted to call into your show today, because the more I read, the more I'm not sure I really want that to do. But then again, I don't want to lose any more trees, because the two largest trees are between 3 and 350 years old or right in that close to my house.
Well, the first trees that I would treat are the ones that are symptomatic, the ones that are infected, and I would do the sick tree treatment is what we recommend doing. Now, even the Forest Service and the contractors, the arborists that recommend the Alamo injections, to do it properly according to the label and the universities and everything, the first thing you're supposed to do is expose the flare. You know, if they're not telling you that, they're not even giving you the proper chemical recommendations. But so we both have the same recommendation for the first step, and that's to expose the flares.
All right. Can I ask you, what exactly do you mean by expose the flare? Because I've never done anything to these trees. So the roots, especially on the larger trees, are out running above the ground.
Well, that's good. That's exactly what you want to see. You want to see the trunk flaring out. That's where the term comes from, and turning in to the roots. And if the roots are above ground and there's a flare so big that you can step on it, that's normally the best thing that you could possibly have for the tree's health. If the tree trunk is coming straight out of the ground like a telephone post, that's extremely bad. That's the thing we want to change. So the flare is exposed. So the ones that are symptomatic, can you see a flare or not?
Yes, you can see the flares out coming out.
I think that the only thing that I think what happened here is the drought got them. And the drought stressed them so badly that the pathogen, you know, was able to attack and get them. So the ones where they already have a flare, the only thing I would do would be the rest of the sick tree treatment, which is to treat the soil with hydrogen peroxide. I wouldn't do mechanical aeration. I'd just put out hydrogen peroxide and do a liquid form of aeration, and then do compost and the rock minerals, lava sand and Texas green sand or just green sand, and then cornmeal and dry molasses. That's the sick tree treatment, and then spray the tree with Garrett Juice, one of them that has mycorrhizal fungus, one of the Garrett Juice Pro products, and you can drench the soil with it. You can use any of the Garrett Juice products that you don't even need the mycorrhizal fungus to spray the trunk and the leaves and the top part of the tree. You can use the mycorrhizal one, but the mycorrhizae only does good in the soil.
Okay, so how much do I need to put down? Because I'm only going out to the drip line.
No, you want to start just inside the drip line and go way out beyond the drip line. See, the main roots that are the feeder roots and are doing good for the tree are in that zone. They're not basic. A lot of people think the roots are from the drip line into the trunk. There's very little going on from halfway between the drip line and the trunk. The feeder roots start along about the midpoint between the trunk and the drip line and then go out. And they'll go out 3, 4, 5 times wider than the drip line. So how far you go just depends on the budget.
Well, I was going to say, you're now covering about 2 acres of my land.
Right. So you just do as much as you can, and you do as much of the sick tree treatment applications as you can. You don't have to do it all at one time. You can do it a step at a time.
How often should one of my questions is, you can look at my tree, the four that are infected, and the top cap is gone, more or less. But if you look from a distance, you can still see a green hue, and if I take a twig on the edge, I can break it, and it's still green. There's no leaves in there, but it's still green. So I'm wondering, of course, they're telling me I just need to cut them down. But
they've never cured a sick tree with the techniques they recommend. We have with the organic approach, and it just depends on how damaged the root system is. The good news is you really haven't wasted your money if you do all this stuff, because you will have improved the soil for the other trees that are still in the area and anything else that you might plant in that area, including just the grasses and the stuff on the ground plane. So look at my website. The whole procedure, the sick tree treatment, is explained on the website. That's what we recommend for oak wilt.
Okay.
And adding to that, we add the hydrogen peroxide to the spray, to the Garrett Juice spray. Any kind of really hard disease like this, we add the hydrogen peroxide to the spray that goes on the foliage and on the trunk and on the ground plane. Do the ones that are most affected first, or maybe better, pick out one that's not so infected that might have a better chance of survival, that's an important tree, that's a big one that you'd really, you know, like to save. Start with that one and then move to other trees.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Do you have an arborist or somebody that y'all can suggest that does what you're talking about?
Well, More Tree Care does it. Lambert's does it. Tyson Woods with Woods by Tree. Wood. What's the name of his company? Woods. Trees by Woods. I'll get it right in a second.
Trees just went by Woods.
Blank. Yeah, they do it. Any arborist, those are the ones that we work with that use organic techniques, but any arborist can do what I'm talking about. They just have to accept the instructions that you give them, that you don't want to use Alamo, you don't want to use toxic chemicals, you want to use the organic approach, and you realize that it may or may not work. But we know that what they recommend won't work on infected trees. It's never, they've never cured a tree.
Yeah, well, that's a little just annoying. But I think you're right. I think the drought is what brought it on, because I can't imagine these four trees, they were so big and their canopies were so strong, and all of a sudden it just
I'm gone. Gonna have to run. Hang on just a minute. Yep. I think I just missed the break. Howard Garrett, be right back with you after this.
Tree Treatment is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly one in three Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And that, if y'all haven't heard about oak wilt. Oak wilt is a disease that we have here in this area, and the recommendations of the chemical injections. I wasn't just being hyperbolic there. Arborists and people in that industry that recommend the chemical treatment admit, I've talked to as many as I can, that the number of trees that they've been able to cure that were symptomatic with the chemical approach is zero. And the only thing that they say that they can do is 70% of the time prevent a healthy tree from coming down with the disease. The natural organic approach, the sick tree treatment, can cure infected trees if you catch the trees early enough. And we'll be helping this last caller with doing exactly that. Let's see what Doris is up to in Cedar Creek. Hey, Doris. Not in Cedar Creek Lake, but at Cedar Creek Lake.
I'm doing great. Are you there?
I am. What can I do for you?
Okay. I was taking you off speaker while I had you. I was on hold. I have a couple of questions, one of them being about red lava rock that I thought to put in the bottom of a big barrel that I put goldfish into. Mm-hmm. I had some bags left over. I don't know if it's the same kind. You talk about lava sand being good for your flower beds.
Right.
And I was wondering, is that the same thing? If I used it like around the, on top of the soil, would it be beneficial?
Lava gravel on top of the soil works very well as a mulch. And if you, it just boils down to whether you like that look rather than shredded native, you know, tree trimmings. The other thing about lava that's a slight negative, really, is that it doesn't break down and turn into humus like the like the natural, you know, wood plant mulches do. But if you're using organic fertilizers and Garrett juice and the things that we recommend, you can get away with that. It'll do well. One of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever run into. I was driving through Arlington one time, and a front landscape had trees and shrubs and perennials that were so dark green and pretty that caught my eye. And I stopped and looked at the place, and the whole place, the whole front yard was mulched with lava gravel. So it works if you like the look. It works very well.
Yeah, I don't mind the look at all. It's just I have some of that left over, and
no,
I didn't
be
want
great.
To put it on my flower beds. It was not a good idea. And if I had the shredded tree trimmings, I'd much rather use those.
Well, that's fine, either one. That breaks down into humus and creates organic fertilizer, so it's got that advantage. But if you've got some gravel that used to be in a fish tank or something, you've also got some natural fertilizer built into that gravel, too. So that's a good thing also.
And we've been organic since 1999.
Oh, that's great.
My other question, actually, it's a little bit of an anger here. While I was listening, while I was on hold for you, and they were talking about black cow. I bought several bags of black cow. And we went and bought a pallet of grass sod. And I asked them, should I put a layer of this black cow down before I put my grass down? Their advice to me was no, which is total opposite what I heard a while ago.
And yeah, they say something in their ad that I need to talk to them about. I don't agree with putting the compost of any kind down under the sod. I recommend putting it above the sod. So I'm glad you brought that up. I'll mention that to them.
Well, they said what they told me were about the grass sod at, that there was enough nutrients in that before they took it up to last at least maybe 3 or 4 months.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think you ought to put compost or an organic fertilizer on top of the sod the day you put it down. The people that grow the sod don't use organic techniques. They don't understand organic techniques. They use synthetic fertilizers, and they're pushing the sod, you know, with a whole bunch of fertilizer, and they're afraid that if you fertilize right after you put it down that there's going to be so much synthetic fertilizer that you're going to burn it. Well, we don't have that problem with organic fertilizers.
So
put it on the top, just don't put it under the sod.
I'll go ahead and spread some of that on top of my grass sod, and it's doing beautiful. I love it with this rain.
Well, good.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate your call.
Help me out both ways.
Good thank points you. Let's go to I've heard that, you know, they talk about putting it in tree holes and putting it on under the sod, and it's, you know, kind of walking a fine line. There are advertisers, and some of them get real sensitive when you tell them to use their product in a different way than they're talking. But problem is, you know, there's a better way to do it in some cases, and that's one of them. Tony in Gainesville next up. Hey, Tony.
Good morning, Howard.
Got something real quick. I'm about to have to take a break. We can hold you over if we run out of time.
Okay. How do the ants out of the flower pots?
Ants out of the flowers? If you put some dry molasses in there, that'll get rid of them. Spinosad will get rid of them. Cinnamon right out of the kitchen will get rid of ants out of pots. It'll work beautifully. Give that a try.
All righty. Thank you, Howard.
Okay. Appreciate the call. That's a good perfect length question. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, the website dirtdoctor.com. You can learn about our course, the Natural Organic Certification course, and how you sign up to take it right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Also sign up for our free newsletter, and we'll do another hour that you can listen to online if your radio station doesn't carry our third hour. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I love being with you.